It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, the real reason you are here today at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Comedian Michael Richards, known to millions as Seinfeld's Cosmo Kramer, is about to become known to another point in his career. And his story emerging from the overnight hours, reports find Richards shouting racial slurs at comedy club hecklers. This is first reported last night on CNN's Anderson Cooper 360. A witness says a Friday night appearance by Richards at the Los Angeles Laugh Factory got angry fast when Richards responded to hecklers by screaming at the audience, shouting a racial slur repeatedly, and clearly referencing lynching. The audience reacted angrily and Richards walked off stage. Comedian Richard Rodriguez appears to confirm that report. Early this morning, TMZ.com posted a video of the incident that shows much of what CNN reportedly described.
I've got the... Now, has any, have we all watched the TMZ video?
I have not.
Have you, sir?
I haven't. It looks just too... read about it. It looks so uncomfortable.
It's so much worse than you can possibly imagine.
Really?
And I am not easily shocked. I mean, anybody who listens to this program knows that we sometimes embrace the darker side of life on this program. It is so much worse than you can possibly imagine. Because I read... See, here's the thing is, I read the article after I saw the clip. I saw the clip with no forewarning as to what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
The audience, as they always are, they're on top of this. The audience, I mean, like, hey, check out this clip of Michael Richards going nuts. I'm like, oh, fantastic. It's great. And, you know, I can't wait to hear it. And I had really no idea what it was about. So I go to so I've seen it. I haven't linked to it, but you go to TMZ.com. It is, you know,
I have a link to it on my website.
It is, and be forewarned, the TMZ clip, they edit out the profanity, but they do not edit out the racial slurs. So you may want to be careful in what company you're playing that. So I went to TMZ and I clicked on it, and I was just thinking he was just going to be a little wacky and a little like shut the F up and, you know, like, don't you know who I am and whatever. Typical celebrity craziness. And, you know, the Mel Gibson thing, like, you sort of think the Gibson thing is like the absolute lowest, like it's sort of the bottom rock layer, that there's really no way to be. It's so much worse than the Mel Gibson thing.
Really?
It's so bad. I don't even want to play it. That's how bad it is. I mean, it's just...
Well, I just want to picture him as Happy Cosmo Kramer.
Oh, no. Those days are over.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. That's not going to happen. Do you have any sound on this? Because I have the CNN sound.
I do not, no.
I'm not going to play the TMZ sound. And people can... Whatever. Think that I should, or think that I'm being a prude or whatever. It's just, and I know that this makes us sound like big pussies, but it's just ugly, man. It's ugly beyond my even wanting to play it. And I thought about editing it down, but then it's like, if I edit it down, what's the point? You know what I mean? So I'm going to cut the whole Gordian knot on it. It's on TMZ.com. You can go see it yourself if you want to. There's just no, because he uses that word like 25 times in about 30 seconds. And my choice would either be to play it. And the thing is, there's not enough setup I could give in the world at the advance to sort of guard against somebody tuning in halfway through and just, like, being blindsided by it. Whatever. And the only other choice is to edit it down. If you edit it down, there's just nothing. But I do have this, some of the CNN sound on this. Hold on, let me make sure I play the right one here. But here's what happens. You don't see what happened before he goes nuts. That's the thing. The video only starts with him losing it. Apparently, he was being heckled by some black guys in the front row. He's on stage at the Laugh Factory. Is that in L.A.?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
It's a lower grade comedy store.
It's like a sub Mitzi Shore kind of a place.
I think that's the one Mitzi owned.
Really? Is that true? The Laugh Factory?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But he's on stage, and apparently he's being heckled by some black guys in the front row. And some of the reports were that, and this is all just stuff after the fact, but you were already hearing that, well, I know a guy who knows a guy whose cousin was a bouncer who knows a guy in the front row, and they were being jerks. But you know what? Michael Richards, like 60, he was on Seinfeld for 10 years. He was a stand-up comic for like 20 years before that. You've been in comedy for 35 years and you can't handle a heckler. You ought to find a different line of work. That's the thing. I mean you did stand up, you know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you learn to handle hecklers. That's like stand-up comedy 101. You don't let a heckler get the last word. You don't let him get under your skin. And it's not like I'm some genius, but everybody knows that. You don't let a heckler throw you off your game. That's the thing. It's like some people call us up and they're like, you know, they give us the baba booey, and you just kind of say thanks and you move on. So the video starts with him just screaming, and it's not a joke. It's not funny because everybody, all the rednecks are already. Well, why is it the black people can use that word and Michael Richards? You know, it's just like the tiredest, most. Just the difference, of course, is the difference is that when you're using it in context of comedy or a joke. I mean, you know, it's not on our program. We do our share of ethnic humor. It's just a thing. There's a difference between that and then just snapping because you can't handle some heckler and just deciding you want to just insult the guy. And the only way you can think to do it is to scream, you know, scream racial slurs at him over and over again. That's the difference. So the video starts with Michael Richards screaming at the guy and he says, shut up, shut up, shut up. And then I swear to God, this is what he says, and this is the one thing I'll repeat on the air. The video starts with Michael Richards, the Kramer guy from Seinfeld, screaming at these guys in the front row, these black guys. And then he says, 50 years ago, we would have you hanging out front. And it's like, at that point, you're like, what? Hello? You know, and that just sort of, he's like, 50 years ago, we'd have your ass hanging out front. And something with a, you know, hanging with a fork in your ass or something like that. And you kind of pull back, and I literally was starting to pull back from the monitor. And then he just unloads with these guys in the front row, you know, there, and then he just uses, you know, the so-called N-word over and over again. No joke, no comedy, no sort of dark wit to it, just like unloading the word on them over and over and over again. And then it just goes on. It goes on for like 2.5 minutes, and he's just losing it. I mean, you realize that you are watching a guy have a breakdown on stage. Like, he is having a mental implosion on stage. And the other thing is, he doesn't appear to be drunk. He doesn't appear to be high. He just has this full-on meltdown on stage, and then the equally horrible thing happens, where everybody in the audience just gets up and walks out. And so on the video, you just see everybody in the crowd getting up and leaving the club, and meanwhile, he's still on stage just screaming the N-word, and it's just, it's horrible. It's really an awful thing to watch. Let me play just a little bit of this CNN sound on it here.
The laughing stopped abruptly Friday night at the Laugh Factory in Los Angeles when renowned actor and stand-up comic Michael Richards,
known as
Kramer from Seinfeld, veered from his act and allegedly spewed the N-word at audience members in an expletive-laden tirade.
He goes on a whole diatribe and just goes on and on and on about, you know, using the N-word, and basically, I'm rich, I don't care what you think, I don't give a F what you think, I have enough money to have you arrested, F you, nigger, again.
Daryl Pitts was in the audience and says Richards was shaken by a group of people who were disruptive and told Richards he wasn't funny. Richards responds,
well, he said 50 years ago, you would be hanging upside down from a tree.
According to Pitts, Richards launched a venomous personal attack against the rowdy group that stunned the 300 in attendance.
Just got totally silent. He just took all of the air out of the room. He dropped the mic and just walked off. There was never any, I'm sorry for what you just saw.
Comedian Paul Rodriguez was also on the bill Friday night.
Once the word nigga comes out of your mouth, and you don't happen to be African-American, then you have a whole lot of explaining.
But Richards, back on stage at the Laugh Factory 24 hours later, didn't explain, refusing to talk on camera. He told CNN off camera he felt sorry for what happened and he had made amends. To whom or how he made amends, Richards didn't say.
All right, anyway, so there you go. So there's that. And it's not like you can't use that word if you're white. George Carlin has a pretty famous comedy bit that he did talking about the power of language and the power of slurs. Lenny Bruce obviously did a lot of that. This was not that. This was not part of a routine. This was not taking it back. This is not, I'm going to, empower these words, but, you know, disempower these words by taking the sting out of them, by using them in a comedic set. This was not that. This was like an a-hole on stage who couldn't handle being heckled and decided the only way he could get back at the guy in the front row is by screaming racial slurs. And the best part of it, though, the best part of this whole thing, which is at TMZ.com, is that after Richards unloads on the guy with, like, 50 years ago, you'd be hanging up from a tree up front, the black guy stands up and goes, you're not funny. That's why you've never had any movies. Seinfeld's the only thing you've ever done, and this is why.
Really?
Yeah, the guy's like, which is pretty great, I got to admit, because, like, Richards unloads with the slurs, and then the hey, I'm a racist, and the guy, like, gives it right back to him 10 times as bad with, like, this is why you've only ever done Seinfeld. So there you go. Eat that, Michael Richards. So, Scotty, just in case you want to, Scotty, in the the Monday folder, there's a thing called, I think it's called Michael Richards. It's just michaelrichards.wave. If you feel like you want to edit that, if you feel like you can do it and make it in a way that's playable, it's just way too much for us to play. So if you feel like you want to tackle them, we'll play it later. All right, so there you go.
So once again, that's Michael Richards and not Mary Richards.
All right, so, yeah. Well, go ahead. Yeah, beep it if you want to. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's do the Bush Watch.
Here's your Bush Watch.
Resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame. When you're president,
everyone knows your name.
Hey, what's that name? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House.
That's a man.
That's my Bush.
The president says he's not making any decision about troop levels in Iraq until he hears from leaders on the ground. He says military leaders will be bringing their suggestions to him regarding troop increases and decreases soon. And at the time, he will comment on his feelings concerning what should be done.
I haven't made any decisions about troop increases or troop decreases and won't until I hear from a variety of sources, including our own United States military.
Who share my views?
Yeah, until I find my hand-picked panel of advisors who will mindlessly parrot the phrases I have given to them.
The president says he will not act alone when it comes to determining whether to increase or decrease the troop levels in Iraq.
As you know, General Pace, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is in the process of evaluating a lot of suggestions from the field and from people involved with the Central Command as well as the Pentagon.
I'm not going to act alone. Since when has George W. Bush ever had a problem acting alone or unilaterally without input from anybody else?
Jesus. The president will take the advice of trusted military leaders.
They will be bringing forth these suggestions and recommendations to me here as quickly as possible.
Okay. There you go.
So the president is taking a whirlwind tour of countries that nobody can figure out what he's doing in. Today he is in Indonesia. He said he values Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono's views.
I'm sorry, President who?
His name is Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono.
Walla Walla Bing Bang.
Walla Walla Bing Bang. He really cares about his opinions.
People of Indonesia should know that when their elected leader speaks, other leaders listen, as do I. Mr. President, you're well respected in the international community, and I appreciate your perspective on global and international issues.
President Ricky Tikki Tembo.
That's a Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono of Indonesia, a well-respected international leader.
I was talking to Lisa Goddard that is a while back, and I said, why do we care about Indonesia? And what was, she said, they're the most populous Muslim nation. Was that the thing?
Yeah, it's like 300 million.
Which I mean, really.
I mean, they don't do anything, were they?
I was going to say, they export anything?
I don't think so.
I mean, that's.
It's a former Dutch colony.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything's a former colony of something or other, I guess. So, Indonesia. So they just sit around and seethe? Like, that's their major export.
I'm not sure what they do down there. That's in the Pacific.
Seething and bitterness.
If you look on the map, it's one of those countries that has a million little pieces to it.
Terry, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Hey, Terry.
Not to be off subject, which it is a little bit off subject, but about Mailman Chris.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a letter carrier also, and there are a lot of us who listen to your show.
Are you supposed to be calling?
I'm at home. I've got the day off.
Okay, just checking. I want to get in trouble with the man.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Mailman Chris was a goodwill ambassador for the post office, and by the postmaster busting his chops is, you know, ridiculous. And he was educating. Chris was educating people as how the post office works.
Well, see, I got to tell you, we have heard many, many things from Chris. How he works hard. He's out there. He has sent us pictures of, not of mail, obviously, but of just sort of a generalized, you know, from far away.
Well, a lot of people don't understand how the post office works.
Right, it's more than stamps and envelopes.
Let me just clarify this. I was going to say, he has sent us very non-distinct, nondescript, far away pictures, though, of the huge, huge room full of mail that he's got to deliver. We hear him out there, sleet, snow, rain, when it was 106 degrees. So he really is doing a lot to further the image of postal carriers as hardworking and devoted.
That's why the postmaster busting his chops. Yes. He's given the post office a bad name. And I tell you, we all were very proud that one of our brethren was was doing this for you. And I thought it was a wonderful thing. And you'd be surprised how many letter carriers, you know, listen to your show. And I think it's totally ridiculous that this postmaster
is doing this. This is all going to end so badly.
You know, to show solidarity.
Yeah, exactly. Let's all strike.
Well, we can't. That's, you know, part of the problem.
Is that
the,
you're not allowed to strike?
No.
Really?
Oh, no.
That's un-American.
Yeah, no,
seriously.
No. Federal employee, dear. No,
right.
No.
Well, what are you going to do?
No, no. But, you know, the other thing is that he's a city carrier, and he gets an hour lunch every day. Now, he's not using a full hour. And when he talks to you guys on air,
it's just, I feel
so
like I'm watching Norma Ray.
There's no reason why they should be busting his chops.
I feel almost like I can't weigh in here because if his supervisor is listening, which I believe is likely the case, I don't want to weigh in with it. Yeah, that guy's a dick. You know, just like I don't want to like weigh in and just start kicking the guy in the chops because then it's going to rain down on Chris.
Well, no, because see, what I thought was that Chris was being a goodwill ambassador
he is
for the post office.
Burnishing the image of the postal workers.
Yes.
Poor people. Well,
I mean, we get slammed a lot, you know, and he was doing a good job and promoting what good service that we do give to our customers.
Well, we try. We do try to further the image of the postal workers as good people.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
There you go. That's Terry. Thank you, Terry. There you go. That's Terry speaking on behalf of many, many letter carriers in the greater Portland metro area who apparently listen to this program. Greetings and salutations to all of you. Thank you, Terry. Well, we are going to endeavor to speak to somebody further up in the postal command on behalf of Chris. We'll let you know how that goes. Here's Tim Riley.
Congressman Charles Rangel says one of the first things he would do once he takes over the leadership of the Ways and Means Committee is to introduce a bill that would reinstate the draft. He said the U.S. doesn't have enough troops to complete the job in Iraq without a draft.
Johnny Rangel.
There's no question in my mind that this president and this administration would never have invaded Iraq, especially on the flimsy evidence that was presented to the Congress, if indeed we had a draft.
All right.
On TV we go.
This is, this is his thing. This is his sort of pet deal because he did this a couple years ago too, where he wants to introduce the draft as sort of a way of demonstrating that, you know, really that it is not necessarily the upper cream of American society who gets sent over to Iraq.
Meanwhile, Rangel said the draft wouldn't only help matters in Iraq.
Whether it's our seaports, our airports, in schools, in hospitals, and at the end of that, to provide some educational benefits, it's the best thing for our young people and the best thing for our country. I will be introducing that bill as soon as we start the new session.
All right, so there you go.
Arizona Senator John McCain is sticking by his theory that increasing troops in Iraq is the only way to win the war. We need to train the Iraqi army and send them out while we stay inside and tell them what to do.
Do we have enough troops to do all that? No, we do not. We have to have additional forces or we will be playing whack-a-mole as I described earlier.
Whack-a-mole.
He says we must stay in Iraq until victory is ours.
Would it put a terrible strain on the Army and Marine Corps? Absolutely. It would be terrible. We're going to be asking people to go back again and again, maybe even extend their tours. But there's only one thing worse, and that is defeat.
Jesus, God. I mean, really, I really hope that the real John McCain is tied up underneath a bed somewhere. I hope that he's being held hostage in a fruit cellar. Because that doesn't sound anything like John McCain. I don't know. It doesn't really seem like this is going to be the... Because when we said that he's formed an exploratory committee for 08, it doesn't really seem like going out there and saying that we're going to start throwing thousands more troops into Iraq is really the way to win over the hearts and minds of the American people. I can't imagine.
It's almost like he's been connected to electrodes and they're putting crazy thoughts into his head.
He's got the Eagleton treatment. they hooked him up to jumper cables. I mean, what tracking poll could he possibly be looking at that indicates to him that that's something that... Who do you know in America that's going to vote for that? Yes, but many, many thousands more troops into Iraq. I can support that platform. McCain, oh wait, punch. He more than anybody running. He's familiar with Vietnam. I mean, he ought to know that. That's well, whatever. Here's the bottom line. But this is much like the Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes thing about Iraq. I just don't care. I'm quit caring.
I think Americans in general have quit caring.
That's the thing is, I'm just past caring. It's not that I'm past caring whether American troops are in harm's way. I mean, obviously, we don't want that, and they ought to be out and brought home. I'm saying as far as installing democracy in Iraq, don't care. Truth be told, didn't really ever care. I don't really care what happens in Iraq. And I know that I'm supposed to. I know that it makes me a bad person. I know that it makes me a self-centered, ugly American who only cares about my own backyard. But you know what? That's just me and most people, like it or lump it. I don't really care about what happens to the Iraqi government. And if I did, I don't now. All right, so there you go. Oh, is this, let's see, let me find the, with the hole and the whatnot. Wait, hold on a second.
What's going on here?
I'm trying to find a soundbite for the...
K-O-T-K!
Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Bruce Agler, former godlike program director. Hello, sir.
Hello there. I'm calling to get you out of trouble with one of your sponsors.
Which is?
Well, you were just ragging on Indonesia and saying it's a worthless place and they export nothing that we can use.
I don't believe I said that.
Well, yeah, it seemed to be where you were leading to. they export entombed wood. Don't you pay attention to your own ads?
Well, no, that's true. Well, EcoPDX does that.
It comes from Java.
It comes from Java. You're right. And Java, you are C. Now, this is, thank you so much for setting me straight. So Java is actually part of Indonesia. It is actually, because it's a series of islands,
Indonesia,
right?
Indonesia is just a whole bunch of islands, and Java is the main one.
EcoPDX, and you can find out more about them at ecopdx.com.
So yes, we'll rescue that client very quickly here.
Well, no, so well, seeing that no knock on EcoPDX, I just don't know anything about geography.
They also export copper. I think they have the largest copper mine in the world.
Well, see, we're back to things I don't care about.
Yeah, you're probably.
No, methamphetamine dealers.
Bam, bang, by the way.
Bam, bang.
Yeah.
No, it's no knock on EcoPDX. Doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying, Indonesia isn't one of those countries I really think about. You know what I mean?
Well, you should think about them whenever you think of furniture and entombed wood and EcoPDX.
Well, maybe while Bush is there, we should just annex it.
Yeah, maybe Bush could sit on some entombed wood furniture and help your sales.
I'm just saying, while he's there, maybe we just put a big fence around it, and it lowers prices for American consumers even further.
Did you hear they had a flat tire on the Air Force One?
No.
Yeah, he almost was unable to fly out of Ho Chi Minh City. They thought they were going to put him on another plane.
Oh, I thought you were leading up to... I thought this was a joke.
It was a setup
to some sort of political humor. It just seems like he's on a tour of really bizarre places.
And then Karl Rove has him dressing in drag.
I did.
It's on my website.
I did. Who is it's him and two other guys.
Well, the Chinese leader. And they're all wearing house coats.
No, it is.
That was a great picture in the New York Times today, wasn't it? With him and Putin standing in look like nightshirts.
No, he's wearing that weird pink petticoat looking thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, so well spotted about Java being part of Indonesia. I actually blanked out that because I say Java so frequently, and yeah, it is one of those islands. So there you go. Well, see, now I am now all in favor of military action to annex Indonesia and Java and make it part of the United States.
You've got to be all in favor of Indonesia. They're good folks over there. That they kind of rough on each other, but we won't talk about that.
All right,
they're not the savages that.
All right,
think of another island.
What island is that?
I don't know, but there are several of them out there that contain savages, and Indonesia is not one of them. Well, that group of islands is not.
Okay. There you go, Bruce Agler, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
K-O-T-K!
Yes. Quality, sustainability, fair trade. Indonesia. Soon we will annex you! All right.
It's a little workshop of the Southern Pacific.
Well, no, it's one of those things. Well, because it's like Fiji. I think is Fiji its own country, or is Fiji like an island
Fiji
that belongs
is an
to...
Island.
But is it an island that is part of our country? Like, is
no,
it
no,
the
no.
Fiji islands that belong to whatever?
I'm not sure who the Fiji islands belong to.
All right. Well, maybe
we nuked a whole bunch of islands out there in the 40s for fun.
Because we were bored.
We put them on the boat, gave them hot dogs, and we wouldn't allow them to return to their islands again, and then we blew them up for some unknown reason.
There you go. There's American history. That is all you know and all you need know right there. Sort of our own Cliff's Notes.
And then when the lunch is over, we told them, you can't go back. Go and drop you off on the nearest island. What more do you need?
Here, go chase these beads. And just... All right. We wish to thank you, the American people, for the gift of radiation. All right. And you know the best part is right now there's some kid listening to us on his radio in a high school history class. And that's going to get put down as like a fill-in-the-blank answer and a question on a test somewhere. Okay, there you go. Thank you.
K-O-T-K!
take a break here. Be back after this with more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Oh, wait, we're going to hear more things from Indonesia. Apparently, Indonesia exports lots of things, not just fine wood that is used for the furniture at Eco PDX.
Silk stockings, perhaps?
Dirt.
Good lingerie.
Pointy dicks. Hello! It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Be back after this. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. Rick Emerson Show, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. And also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Rick, perhaps it was the manic gunfire and bloody public shrieking that flanked Chris's daily appearances on your show that lost him the great postal ambassador approval from his boss. Just a hunch.
Yeah, we'll see.
Scotty's working on a new sounder. All right. And we got this. This is from Kristen. I know you say you're done with the cruise wedding, but I heard something you may not have heard yet. Apparently, the wedding was just a big promotion for Scientology. They were married in Los Angeles, Kristen says, and carried out the whole sham wedding in Italy to bring global attention to Scientology, because that's really what's going to help them, is more attention based on Tom Cruise. That's why Oprah was miffed about the whole thing. I know Sarah was saying she suspected they already got married, but it's confirmed that it was so. FYI, I am tired of hearing about it myself. Yeah, we have a cruise-free zone on this very fine radio program. We'll get, I swear to God, it says Zippy on the screen. In a second, also, Jesse, let's please welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show, the original Harry Scary Guy, the host of the Ground Zero Lounge, Clyde Lewis. Hello.
Why don't we use a cruise missile and take care of it, you know, just that way?
Wait, hold on. I didn't know you were going to start right off with a... There we go. No. All right. What's up with you, brother?
I'm all right today. I've been up since 2 in the morning, actually.
Why?
I had a story fall in my lap last night. We've been up all night long trying to put it together. What had happened is there's a guy by the name of Bruce Burgess, and I had dinner with him in Los Angeles about a year ago. And it was about the time... we first was proposing the History Channel show that I'm going to be on soon. And he had dinner with me. He had nothing to do with this History Channel thing, nothing at all. But he told me, he says, I'm about to unlock the biggest secret conspiracy of all time. And here's a guy that has, you know, he has a lot of guts because he took a Cessna and he actually flew it into Area 51. And there used to be, and I don't know if it's still on the net, but there used to be video footage of him with a camera in the plane. And you're seeing these jets just basically firing on the Cessna, and he's in it, and he's just crazy. And I told him, I said, I remember that. And he says, well, I'm about to do something again that's just as crazy. Well, you know, I hadn't heard from him for like a while. And so just a couple days ago, he sends me an email. He says, hey, Clyde, take a look. And what he showed me was that he went to France, and he went to France to hunt down the Holy Grail. And the Da Vinci Code just got released on DVD, I think it was a couple of days ago or whatever. And, of course, that whole movie's about the Holy Grail and everything else like that. And so I thought, well, this is kind of interesting timing. And then we managed to get into some secret file areas. You know, when you go into, you know, a website that's available that's not necessarily open to the public, and buried there is all the, you know, movies and audio and all this other stuff. Well, we managed to get in and we managed to extract all the video off this website, and it's amazing because in this video they're interviewing this guy who thinks, well, actually he says that he's with the Priory of Sion. And I know that's a little bit over the heads of most listeners because they don't know anything about this stuff unless they've seen the Da Vinci Code. But he's this monk type guy, and he's sitting there talking to them, and he claims that they have at this church in France the body of Mary Magdalene buried at the church, and that also that there's another body, and of course it's basically, I guess you could say it's kind of hinted
So now, are you going to be talking about this tonight? Is this like a thing that you can talk about, or is it all well, down low?
Well, the thing is that what we're doing as we speak is that we did not, you know, last night we were too busy, you know, trying to grab all this material that, you know, we haven't had a cohesive thought process. And so I'm kind of working at that now, and at the same time trying to figure out, well, I'm going to go back to the Da Vinci Code, and we have to go back and talk about what Brown's talking about, what may be fake and what may be fiction, and then just drop the bomb on these guys and hear this guy from his mouth saying, yeah, we have the body of Mary Magdalene, we have the anointing cup, and we have, you know, and he basically says that they have the body of Jesus Christ there too, which is really scary. So if that's the case, then they say, we're going to reveal this to the world in the next year, and what that'll do is it'll just basically destroy the foundations of all religions everywhere.
Well, okay. So there you go.
So that's why I've been up since 2 in the morning, because the thing is so fascinating, you know, just going over all the footage and going over everything that they've been talking about. In fact, I even have some stills. I even have the facts. I took a picture of the facts that was sent to them to meet with the Priory. It's called the Outer Circle of Dagobert.
Only you would ever call this radio. And I said, like, well, what's up? Well, I'm feeling kind of tired today. And normally, this is people go, they say, I'm hungover, they're having out. Was that a show or couldn't sleep? You go, well, I've got this document that's going to destroy the foundation of all religions worldwide. So that's keeping me up.
But that's the thing. It's just a legend. Everything is a legend.
Yeah.
It's still amazing. I mean, if it's true, then, you know, that's probably why everybody was scrambling to disprove Dan Brown and disprove his book and disprove everything else that he's been talking about.
Hey, the thing is, did you hear that Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes actually got married in Los Angeles and the whole thing in Italy is a sham?
Yes, I did. In fact, the whole thing was a weird... It's kind of a weird Scientology type ceremony, because he had to read from this parchment, and they had all these people dressed in medieval garb. It's kind of like this magical gathering of people. And did you notice also that when Bush and Putin were in Vietnam, they were wearing these strange cloaks that looked like they all belonged to Hogwarts? It's really strange.
No, they looked like Mrs. Roper. They all just had like the big, like, hello, I'm in a big frilly pink thing.
But
yeah.
See, this is the weird stuff, is that all of our leaders and everything that's going on in the world are all acting really peculiar, more peculiar than they did before.
That is true.
And it just seems to me that there's something going down that is going to, you know, it's going to have to, you know, shake up people, not from the standpoint of war, but from the standpoint of what they truly believe and what they truly want to get behind, because it just seems that the tensions are mounting to give some revelations that aren't necessarily too comfortable. And, you know, the whole thing about the draft that's been proposed and everything else that's been proposed, and I think people, you know, now are going, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to be making changes now with the changing of the guard and everything else, and it seems that things are getting even more chaotic and unraveled. I mean, gas has gone up, everything's just gone crazy, and it's because of the fact that it doesn't matter who you put there, somebody has basically taken and pulled all the, you know, levers and everything, and it's basically you know, done some really weird things. Now, another thing I got to tell you quickly, we are currently we went and did an exploration at the Lone Fir Cemetery. And we did get some pictures that we showed last week that were really, really frightening and scary for people. And the other night I was in bed and I was asleep. And I was awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning with a voice that was audible in my room, and I'm not kidding you, said, two men died while praying. I'll pray for you. And what's really odd is...
Have you thought about moving?
My...
Really? How many audible... Your microwave was possessed a couple years ago. How many... Now you got a voice speaking to you. How many voices does one have to have before you just decide, I'm going to find a duplex somewhere?
So last night I was standing out in front of my house with my lightsaber. This story gets really bizarre.
God almighty.
So I'm standing outside my house with my lightsaber, uh-huh, just playing with it out in the dark, because I was like trying to relieve some stress. And my neighbors come out and they're like going, wow, it's so cool, you've got a lightsaber. And I'm thinking, yeah, they think I'm some nerd, right?
Yeah.
Because I was speaking at Oricon this weekend. And they said, well, we're going to move. And I says, why are you moving? And they say, because this house is strange. And they said, we're leaving. And they didn't want to go into why the house was strange.
It's because you've brought evil there.
It's just that they're saying that they don't want to live there anymore because there's peculiar things happening. And I said, well, do you think it's because of me? And they said, oh, no. They said, this is not you. This is something just really strange about the house.
Hey, the real question is, are you going to be here this Thursday making burger cake for Thanksgiving?
We're bringing burger cake. The lovely... Jennifer and Aaron are going to be helping me with this project.
Now, we don't have, for the first year, we don't have an oven. Typically, we have an oven in a place where we work. We don't have an oven or a stove here. All we have is like a microwave. But so you're going to be bringing in burger cake.
Well, I heard that we may be making burger cake in the convection oven, but we're trying to figure out how we're going to do the practicality of a Thanksgiving burger cake, whether or not we're going to infuse the gravy into the meat.
Ugh.
Or whether or not we're going to, you know, get, spreading potatoes and gravy on the burger itself.
You said you're
like
going to miss it, Sarah.
Yeah. What's that?
Sarah's going to miss it. You said you're going to miss it.
Yeah. Oh, burger cake! This is going to be amazing.
Will you save some burger cake for me, Clyde?
Well, I don't know if we can save it that long. I don't know.
You got a refrigerator, or is that possessed?
I don't know. All I know is that I am very tired today. So if I go to Ground Zero Lounge tonight, I'm kind of tired.
You have to get very drunk.
What's that?
You'll have to get very drunk. That's the only way to overcome your fatigue.
Well, that'll help my fatigue a lot. And I think that I'm probably going to be karaokeing tonight, too, so I'm just really going to be wasted by the end of the day.
Clyde Lewis at the Ground Zero Lounge tonight, 8 o'clock at Dante's. Mm-hmm. Find out more at ClydeLewis.com. And then, listen, you're going to be in the studio with us on this Thanksgiving on Thursday.
Yes, I will.
Fantastic, my friend. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, you take care.
Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen.
I love that guy.
I do, too. In the space of one phone call, he's got a document that's going to bring down all of organized religion. He's standing out in front of his house last night, presumably in boxer shorts, wielding a lightsaber. He's got a voice speaking to him inside his apartment. His microwave is still haunted, and he's making burger cake on Thursday in the studio. There you go. There's only one like Clyde Lewis.
And go to Dante's and buy him a Red Bull vodka so he doesn't pass out on stage.
Totally. All right, Tim Riley rejoins us here in just a moment from the Ministry of Truth. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let me get while Tim is making his way in here, let's get a couple of these. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, what's happening?
What's up, brother?
Hey, Clyde just gave you the answer for the world's blank is blank, world's largest hamburger cake. I don't think it's ever been done.
But the world's largest hamburger has been done. And the thing is, we're trying to find the world's largest blankest blank, or the world's blankest of blank, for this program so we can get a little media attention on it. Because the media sort of is, they are easy to manipulate if you know how to do it. And so I think they have made the world's largest hamburger, and I'm just not sure if they would draw the distinction. I'm not sure if, like, the Guinness people or whatever, if they would see a difference between hamburger and burger cake.
All right.
It's worth investigating, though.
That's not why I'm calling. I'm calling because you use something from Indonesia every day.
What is that, sir?
Coffee. They're one of the biggest producers of coffee.
Well, see, there you go. See, the more you know, and knowing is half the battle. So Indonesia, of course, they create the salvaged wood for EcoPDX. Also, coffee. Fantastic.
You know, Java, Indonesia, you drink a cup of Java.
Yeah, see, but I always thought that was I didn't know if that was actually a real thing, if that was it.
You know the type of coffee the coffee shops will have?
Yeah.
The cup, mocha Java, that's a combination of Yemen mocha beans and then Java.
Yeah, that actually is from Java, though. It's not just a slang term that is now universal. That actually is from Java.
It's from Java.
Fantastic. See, there you go.
When are you going to have Dennis Pitzenberger back?
Tomorrow. He'll be back with us tomorrow.
Because I was thinking, you schooled him so bad last week. I felt bad for him.
At what? At trivia?
I have a bunch of questions that have to do with automobiles. We can put you guys together, and that way he has the advantage. You can earn some respect.
Now, these aren't automotive questions like mechanical crankshaft questions or whatever, right? Are these like
pop culture
questions?
Basic, they're basic kind of automotive. They're about the automobile, and everybody...
Like car questions.
But it gives him the advantage, not just you.
So it's like car questions for dummies.
Yeah.
Okay, that would work. I'd be in favor of that.
All right. I'll call back tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right,
there. That's Jesse. Let's get one more here. Zippy, you're up. Zippy.
Hey.
Hello.
Sorry, hold on. I'm playing around with my WAV files.
You're with? Okay.
Hold on.
Moon to Venus.
You recognize that one?
I do indeed.
Dude, that's the greatest thing ever.
Awesome.
Did we get clove cigarettes from Indonesia? Not that I'd know anything about that.
Clove cigarettes? So there you go. So without.
How it is.
So without Indonesia, all the goths and drama nerds, it would be...
There would be no way to make your lungs bleed.
There'd be nothing for you to smoke at the Denny's while being angstridden and nursing one cup of coffee for three hours.
Yeah, and having to follow up Clyde with all that I really appreciate putting Zippy behind like that. That's nice.
Fantastic. Well, I do what I can, sir.
Hey, man, hold on a second. I got something for you.
Okay.
God, shake me. Shake me like a British nanny.
Later.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, here's my spoon is too big. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. We have
breaking news.
Okay,
yes,
hold on. Let me find the breaking news.
This is a CBS News Net Alert. This is a CBS News Net Alert. That's the last time I'm going to say it.
Okay.
News Corporation, the parent company of book publisher HarperCollins and the Fox Television Network, has canceled publication of the O.J. Simpson book and the television special, If I Did It.
Ah!
There'll be no book, no TV special. That's the end.
Now, does News Corp own HarperCollins?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can't just... They're the parent company of HarperCollins.
They can't do that.
They can't deny me all of this show material.
They
just did. Argue with it with Rupert Murdoch.
Well, does he own the book, do you suppose? I'm because here's the thing. It's going to come out because the special's already taped. It's already in the can.
Judith Regan, would-be publisher of Simpson's book, said she did not pay Simpson for the rights to publish his book. Let's see. What I do know is I didn't pay him. She said in an 8-page statement entitled, Why I Did It. I contracted through a third party who owns the rights, and I was told the money would go to his children. That much I could live with.
So Regan Books is owned by HarperCollins, which in turn is owned by News Corp, which is Rupert Murdoch.
Mm-hmm.
And
Fox had planned to air a 2-part TV interview of Simpson on November 27th. And the 29th.
I'm so glad we got Rube booked later on to talk about this. We can talk about this and Michael Richards all in one day. It seems a given that it'll come out somewhere, right? I mean, because OJ just seems so money hungry and spotlight hungry at this point. So the question remains: does he own the book? Is the book the property of Fox? Is it the property of News Corp? All right. Well, I guess there's no answer to that. But as of now, the Fox TV special isn't going to air, and the book is
not going to be published.
It's not
going to
come out, at least as of right now. That's the word from News Corp. All right. Well, we'll get more from Jim Roop on that later on. Well, that screws like two weeks of whoring we were going to do. We were just going to milk that relentlessly. See, there's. I wonder if they give it to us. Just put it right between us and Jim Cramer. All right, well, there you go. Well, we'll have more news on that as it develops. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Let's go back to beat number 4 and finish up here. It's going to be a little more expensive on average to make Thanksgiving dinner for a gathering of 10 people this year than last, for those of you who have dinner for 10 people. The American Farm Bureau Federation surveyed prices of staple turkey dinner items in 32 states, finding a $1.32 increase from last year, according to economist Terry Francy.
Believe it or not, the average cost of Thanksgiving dinner down from what they were two decades ago. I'm Michael Arney. I'll have the details.
That's it. There you go. Fighting the Frizzies tonight at 11.
An outdoorsman is giving advice on a unique way to cook your turkey feast. Sheldon Mendinger says a deep-fried turkey can give a bird so much of a different flavor, and it's bound to burn down your porch, too.
One thing you get when you're deep-frying the turkey, the white meat of the turkey is very moist and juicy. You can injection, marinades, anything. You can do your Cajun barbecues, herbal butters. And you can also throw some rubs on the outside of the turkey to help prepare it. So you can do many different things with the flavoring of the turkey.
If you put, it's just a goddamn turkey. If you put
these things always burn down apartment complexes in the suburbs every Thanksgiving.
I'm pretty sure we have a Hick Watch later on that involves a turkey that being deep fried setting fire to a guy's vinyl siding. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's coming up later on today. We are looking for the world's largest blank of blank to bring some notoriety to this program. We have this. I wonder who this is from, Rick. Largest investigation of a postal employee appearing on the air. There you go. Well, we'll look into it. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So let's go back and reload A for some more fun-filled cuts here.
Fantastic. Okay, A is being reloaded right now.
Well, if you'd like to take the bus home for Thanksgiving, Greyhound says it is again ready to go in the Northwest. Then no, you don't need a reservation. You or anybody else.
That's hard to believe.
One more can too. A city transit system where it's open, and a lot of our passengers actually buy their tickets either the day of travel or the day before.
Hanging pennies.
Yes, there's plenty of security aboard Greyhound, but it's, well, not as strict as airline security.
On board a Greyhound rather than, going through the security line every time, we have different security systems in place to make sure that our passengers are safe.
If you're required to bring weapons.
I was going to say, if by security you mean that 80% of the passengers in a Greyhound bus are packing heat at any given time. Jesus, really? I mean, the number of teeth on a Greyhound bus, you don't even get into a dozen, at that point. I mean, it really is just sort of a big, just sort of a sewer with wheels.
Well, if you haven't ridden Greyhound recently, you're in for a very nice surprise.
some of the passengers might notice that they haven't ridden Greyhound in a couple of years, that their trip is a little quicker than it used to be.
Just barreling, just a driver trying to get all the people off the bus as quickly as he can.
You'll reach your maker quicker.
Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Speaking of classic American artists, you may be wondering what Tony Bennett is up to.
More than anything.
He's being saluted on a new television special on NBC. Tony Bennett, an American classic, features an all-star cast of musicians paying tribute to the singing legend. He's 80 years old, but he says he's never felt better.
Old man trouble, I don't mind him. He won't find me round my door. I got starlight, I got sweet dreams. I got rhythm, who could ask for anything more? Who could ask for anything more?
Is he all right?
He's falling over.
Clear!
Aaron Geek in the City weighs in and says, dude, you have never seen Clyde as drunk as I did last Saturday at the Wrath of Khan drunken commentary. He was drunk out of his mind on Percocet, Romulan Ale, Everclear, and Popeye's Chicken. Good times. Let's see here. We have Rick, again, with the Indonesia and the clove cigarettes and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. Stuff about postal strikes, but we'll get to this. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
There's a Britney watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your Britney watch.
I think I did it again.
That's a double Britney watch. Almost immediately after we heard Britney Spears was going to ditch her leech of a husband, Kevin Federline. These are somebody else's words I'm reading. We heard about her now famous sex tape. Federline has already been approached by a porn mogul in the U.S. to buy the tape, but chose to pass on the deal. Now, Britney says she may just give away a copy of the tape.
Now, see, this can't possibly be true. I mean, it's a story. It's just too good. And normally when somebody says, this is too good to be true, they're talking about like a two-from-one ham special at Grandma's Buffet. This really, honestly, is too good to be true. There's just no, there is no way.
Well, because he's being offered an insane amount of money for it, right?
$60 million.
It might benefit an African orphanage, for all we know.
Really? She should do it for charity.
But how could she give it away if he has it in his possession?
Well, because she probably has a copy as well. The story I heard is that she has a high-resolution copy, which it, I don't know, maybe it'll say.
Sources say she is seriously thinking about giving away a digitally remastered copy.
There you go, George.
So, the director's cut, apparently.
George Lucas has stepped in.
Well, this is a four-hour-long sex video. During a visit to Burger Basket with her two sons, Sean and J.N. James, she said that she just might post a clip of it on MySpace.
Oh, sweet internet.
Britt figures she'll beat that sucker to the punch, just like she did by giving away pictures of Jaden James, said a family friend named Nyla, the owner of Nyla's Burger Basket.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Please refer all my inquiries to Jeffrey's Bacon House. Nyla's Burger Basket. That's Britney's new base of operations.
Half of nothing is nothing. And that's what her lion skunk of a husband will get if she gives that video away before he can find some sleazeball to buy it.
Is this her new PR person, Nyla?
I think Nyla is their own PR person.
Okay.
Federline has been saying the sex tape is 4 hours long. However, Price said the tape is closer to 45 minutes.
There you go. Fantastic.
Part two. Britney Spears has been partying with a handsome actor in Las Vegas. The newly single singer has been seen canoodling with Mario Lopez at the Moon Nightclub this week. Where's the Moon Nightclub? Dressed in a disguise of a pink wig and oversized sunglasses, Britney went to the Palms Casino Resort, where she met up with a renowned ladies' man, Mario, before hitting the clubs.
Really? He's a renowned ladies' man?
That's what they're calling him.
Okay.
A source says, Mario and Britney are definitely together. They were even holding hands. They were staring into each other's eyes longingly and laughing all night.
Oh, God. You know, I hope she... How did it sound? because she's a hick, you know she's just going to jump right into a third marriage. You know that's exactly what's going to happen. She's going to have some swinging single life for like 6 months, and then she's going to be married Mario Lopez or some other dick, just some guy. That's exactly she obviously has got a very well-developed pattern in her life. So we can all see this unfolding in front of us.
It has also been revealed that Britney has turned down ex-lover Justin Timberlake to cope with the breakdown of her second marriage, she reportedly made tearful phone calls even before filing for divorce from Kevin Federline.
Fantastic. There you go. There's your double Britney watch.
Oh, and she also spent the weekend hanging out with Paris Hilton in Las Vegas.
I saw some photographs of that online, actually. We'll get later on. We'll do our We Read the Entire Inquirer, so you don't have to segment. There's some Britney news in there as well. There's your Britney watch.
Before you go, there's something I want you to have.
See, my problem is this. I'm not that innocent.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's see here. A New Jersey woman has been charged with attempted murder after cops say she tried to harm her sister and her sister's husband Friday by putting rat poison in their sandwiches.
It looks just like Skinny and Sweet.
43-year-old Dana Simons was arrested after her sister told cops she found rat pellets in her submarine sandwich. The couple said they noticed the poison before they bit into the sandwiches and believe it's the second time she tried to poison them. She could get 5 to 10 years behind bars.
People are so dumb about how to poison.
In Jersey, of all places, you'd think they know how to do that.
I was going
to
say, if you can't get a
I mean, it's up to the landfill, but you look at somebody wrong.
He's just playing hide and seek. Don't you worry about it. Where's my, let's welcome now to the...
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
George in Wilsonville. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Can I hear the sounder for in support of our postal brethren? A little bit of solidarity. Can we hear that one more time, please?
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
I never really noticed the screams, actually, until this time. I just hear the machine gun noises a lot.
Yeah, that's great. And I think we should just all ask for that and multiply it and in your face to the man, the humorless man.
That's mighty brave of you to do that with somebody else's job. You're a real man.
It's me. I can't be touched. I'm untouchable.
You're a real stand-up guy, George.
That's right. Okay. Hey, I was thinking we could have the largest, the world's largest ball of rock concert T-shirts.
So like a biggest pile of rock shirts in one place?
Yeah, just like make it into a ball. I don't know if anybody's going to give them up, but that's an idea.
Okay.
Or new condoms, unused.
In a ball?
Yes.
The world's largest ball of unused rubbers?
Yes.
Okay.
Then finally, Indonesia has huge oil reserves. That's probably why.
Is that true? Well, that would explain why Bush is there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, now that it's going to help us, Iraq has it. You know, Iraq, gas there is like 43 cents a gallon or something.
Yeah, that's when it's high. It's usually like 15 cents.
But you know, you don't live through a full tank. That really is true. You just need to
fill it up once and that's it.
Drive your brother to the mortuary. That's really all. You can haul 20 or 30 dead relatives on a good tank of gas.
Sadly, this is about all. Thanks, Rick.
No, thank you, sir.
Postman is a person.
It's that final body at the end that always makes me smile. We've got a lot of people suggesting world's largest pile of junk mail. But, you know, that's been done a lot. The collection of... It's a good idea, but it's been done a lot. World's largest collection of junk mail. So that's... You know, there's that guy. He like, I saved all my junk mail for a year. So that's been done. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a White City woman accused of using a dead woman's credit card to buy an Oregon lottery ticket that won her $1 million.
Oh.
Has been jailed for violating her probation on a methamphetamine possession charge. She's 39-year-old Christina Gudinow. She was sentenced to 6 months in custody for violating probation on a 2003 methamphetamine case. Meanwhile, she remains in dispute with authorities over lottery proceeds. Authorities said she spent about $11,000 using the card of the mother of a longtime boyfriend. When she won the lottery, she used her initial proceeds to pay down the debt. As she pled no contest to theft, forgery, and cheating charges.
What's her name?
Let's see, Christina Gudinow.
She's seen running away with an animated Russian and his girlfriend.
She maintains she bought the lottery ticket with her own funds.
All right, there you go. Better is not Mrs. Janik. Let's do one more call, then we'll do one more story, then we'll break. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
How you doing, Rick?
What's up?
I love you guys in a very weird way. Not love, like you're thinking.
Like in the back of a Volkswagen?
But, yeah, okay. Gateway. I have an idea for the biggest collection of things. We can all participate.
All right.
Fingernail clippings and toenail clippings.
You know, what is the peculiar fixation this audience has on fingernail and toenail clippings? You're like the third person to say, what everybody needs to do is save all their toenail clippings for 6 months and then we'll put them on a pile. Not that I'm saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying it does seem that and like earwax. You could also, maybe navel lint. We could do that. Largest ball of navel lint. I don't know that that's ever been done.
Anything the body makes, maybe, huh?
One has to draw a line somewhere.
Besides a couple things.
Largest pile of fingernails and toenails. Well, we'll have to figure this out maybe by the end of the week, because I want to start doing this like maybe next week something. We'll have to figure it out. All right, I'll put down another vote for toenail and fingernail collection. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Mike, who loves us in a strange way. Here's Tim Riley.
Anti-war activists plan a global orgasm for peace. This comes from the CBS Newswire, mind you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Dateline San Francisco. Two peace activists have planned a massive anti-war demonstration for the first day of winter, but they don't want you marching in the streets. They'd much rather have you just stay home. The Global Orgasm for Peace was conceived by Donna Sheehan.
Conceived.
Who's 76, and Paul Reffel, who's 55.
76?
She's 76.
Extrude some dust for peace, won't you?
The goal for the world is for everyone to have an orgasm December 22nd while focusing on world peace. They're no strangers to sex and social activism. Sheehan, no relation to anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan, brought together nearly 50 women in 2002 who stripped naked to spell out the word peace.
God, were they all 76?
Probably.
Oh, for the love of... It's hard to believe that people don't take liberals seriously when it comes to having a plan to end the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You know what those are? Those are San Francisco values right there.
That's true.
It's part of the problem in this country. All right.
Yeah, those islands.
And like Lot's wife, they will all be cast down and turned into salt. All right. Good God. All right. Come back. Benjamin in the mighty Southeast. Come tell us about the Storm Large concert on Saturday. We come back. We'll talk about we are going to enlist your help for something we return. A guy wants some advice on how to punish his brother. And it's a little more complex than that, but not much more. This is our high concept topic for today. So we'll do that when we get back. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will join us. We'll talk about OJ, Michael Richards, and The Wii, which came out this weekend. Later on, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian and more of Tim Riley. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Stay there.